have been missionaries for 35 years in Brazil, South America, near the big city of Curitiba. Brazil is the fifth largest country in the world. We live in the southern part of this great and diverse country. Our home is in a beautiful wooded area in a rural community about 40 minutes from the big capital city. The famous Iguazu Falls is located in our state, and we are only about 2 hours from the beautiful Atlantic Ocean. The majestic Paraná pine trees mark our countryside. We can even eat the pine cones from this tree. We have really enjoyed being able to raise our 4 children in Brazil. Today our children are no longer in our home, but we are so thankful that they are all serving the Lord. Our ministry to our own children has resulted in many blessings. Now, as grandparents, we want to influence the next generation to love and serve the Lord as well. As we've sought to serve the Lord in all we do, He's given us a ministry beyond our own natural family. We reach out with the gospel message and share our lives with others in order to grow our spiritual family.
Paul and Becky Abel have planted 4 congregations that are still in existence: A Mighty Fortress, Villa Camargo, Bateas there near the Arca, and Campo Largo.
Each one of these churches, even though Becky and I started them and were very involved in forming the congregation, yet we find that because of where they're located and who's part of the church, each one has a very distinct personality.
We've established 4 churches. Buildings are important for establishing churches, but the real work of church planting is not measured in buildings made by human hands, but in lives transformed by Jesus. That's why we pour our lives into people. Each of these dear friends has an eternal soul and a story to tell of God's amazing grace. Because we've been in Brazil for such a long time, we've become spiritual parents and grandparents to many. They actually can get along just fine without us now, but it's always reassuring for them to know that they can count on us as parents. We meet periodically with the other Free Lutheran missionaries and bi-monthly with other Curitiba area pastors and families to encourage one another. We're especially excited to have a new missionary couple in Brazil, the John Lee family. They are living in our home while we are on furlough. We often host short-term groups like Journey Missions. Volunteers experience the mission field firsthand as they get to know their missionaries and interact with the Brazilian people.
One thing I really enjoy about ministry is the visitation aspect. To get out there and just find out where people are at and share the Word of God with them.
Even though we live in a rural community, there are about 6,000 people right in this little village hidden amongst the trees and the dirt roads around here. And people find their way to our house frequently, too.
We can be part of their lives and help them get through to the next day. And I think that's a part of ministry that really involves us a lot. It's gratifying because you see you're meeting the need that is real and it is present and you can be part of it.
Paul enjoys visiting our elderly members and shut-ins to encourage them and share communion in their homes. He has a big heart for helping the down-and-outers. In his visits around town, he sees many physical needs. We've helped many with building projects to make their life a little better. We share the love of God in word and action. Throughout the years, many people have lived with us. These experiences are invaluable for passing on values to those who've come from dysfunctional homes and have never witnessed personally what the normal Christian life and family is supposed to look like. We really enjoy having people in our home and in our lives. We live at a Bible camp that once was a rabbit barn. God has so faithfully provided through the years for us to have this wonderful camp. For 27 years now, we've focused on planning and directing camps at the ARCA because we see the great value in investing in lives in this way. Whether it be in teaching times, small groups, games, campfires, or even tractor rides, values are being taught, and campers grow in their relationship with God and with others. So much work and so much fun. I always loved working in camp ministries. We always dreamed of having a camp of our own, and our dream came true.
Right away, as we moved out here in 91, we saw that the area didn't have a church. So we started having church services and some special events at the ARCA. From that, we went to the storefront, and from the storefront, we went to our own building. Each one of our church plants have this history: a living room, and a home, or in a school, and then into rented quarters, and then into our own property. And I found that once we were in our own place, it added strength to the work because people just saw you were here to stay. It gave continuity, it gave confidence, and helped the churches to grow that way.
Churches and individuals have had a part in this ministry by supporting us financially and in prayer for 35 years. Thank you so much. We like to remember that God uses what each of us can do as part of His plan to love the world. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do.
Enjoyed seeing a little bit of our work where we live, and where you can go and visit, and look forward to having more of you come and spend time with us. It's always very, very fun. The hymn we sang, Standing on the Promise, is a line that stuck out to me in the very end was, resting in my Savior as my all in all. And how important that is. You know, there's so many things that need to be done, so many opportunities that we kind of figure out, are we able, are we capable? We all go through that, and we need to rest in Jesus as our all in all, and He provides the strength. We read today from Romans chapter 10, a very strong missionary passage. We were at the Steer Convention the last couple of days. It was such a blessing to be with the farmers and ranchers and mission agencies that are blessed through the STEER program. And we actually discovered that we still have two units, let's say two cows or whatever, that don't have farmers for them, you know. So I said, you know, they've been sitting there for years, you know. It's one of those, the gift that you give to STEER, it's a gift that keeps giving because, and actually you don't even have to give anything except for your time and effort. Because the unit is already there. You know, the purchase of the cattle or the planting of the field, it's already there. It just needs someone to do it, and then the proceeds goes to our mission work. So if you're interested in supporting us through STEER Incorporated, through this program, there are quite a few units that are just waiting for a farmer to take hold and allow that to bring in money for the kingdom. The AFLC actually has many, many units that are sitting there also without being adopted. And so if you're a farmer, rancher, talk to us afterwards about the opportunity that is to have what we read here in this passage in Romans chapter 10. And I want to read the part that we want to focus on today. Verse 14 and on says, how will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Then in verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And then we look down in verse 20, it says, Isaiah is so bold to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. And that is what World Missions is, going out and allowing people to hear a message they had never dreamed that they could ever hear and ever experience. I think of the passage here where it says, how beautiful are the feet. Now, maybe you'll look down in your feet and we just see shoes now, right? But if you took off your shoes and socks, you would see your feet. And then I hear the question is, do you have beautiful feet? And what makes them beautiful? In Brazil, the Brazilians are very, very interested in having beautiful feet. So the women will paint their, do pedicures and paint their nails quite frequently. Sometimes they'll buy a sandal size just a little smaller than the foot so that the feet show and not the soles of the shoes, because they want the feet to appear. And they'll try to make their feet as small and less and cute as possible. You notice how women's sandals are so pretty. They have all kinds. You know, we just pick up a pair of sandals and it's good enough. The girls have dozens of sandals to make their feet beautiful. But we find in this passage here today that it's not about beautiful looking feet. It's about feet that have a purpose, that have a movement, that have a function. Beautiful feet have to do with the proclamation of Jesus, the sharing of Christ, letting people know that there is salvation in Jesus. There's new life in Christ. The old things can pass away. New can come. We can be at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The world needs the gospel. And it's Christians who have feet that can have movement in reaching people for Christ, even those who had not been seeking for him, even for those who weren't asking for him, and yet they can come to know the life-saving message of Jesus. Jesus came into the world because of God's love for sinners, that they repent and they come back into relationship with him. Paul is writing here to the Corinthian church, reminding them that when he came to them, I mean, we read in Paul when writing to the Corinthian church, he told them that he came to them not with fancy talk. It says, in fact, I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech of wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This passage is so rich. Faith that rests in the power of God. So it's not us, and it's not so much our feet, but it's the message that we have to share with people. It's the message we have that impacts our own lives and makes us different. Helps us to walk in light, to walk in light as he is in the light, to have fellowship one with another. And then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We never need to preach or to share our faith to impress people. We just need to share with them what Jesus Christ has done for us. In Brazil, we work mostly with blue-collar workers and poor people. People who don't have many means and do have many needs. And God has used them and has used us in their lives, and they have been used in our lives in the life of growing the church. But all of them have needed the life-changing message of Jesus Christ.
All of them needed that someone would be there to present the gospel. They needed to hear it. They needed to see it lived out. They needed to experience it for themselves. And God has done an exciting work. As you saw the slides this morning, practically 90% of those were people that weren't churched, that didn't understand the message of salvation before. They weren't traditional born Lutherans. They're all first generation. And God has done a tremendous work in their lives and is building his church. And it's so fun to be part of it. Not always easy to walk people through life and in faith and keep them focused on Jesus. But it's always gratifying to see the tremendous change that comes over people when they receive Jesus and grow in him. This morning for devotions, I read in Isaiah 58, verse 1 and 10. And it says, if you extend your soul to the hungry, and you satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall rise in darkness, and your gloom be as noonday. The world needs our light, your light. The church is, we try to emphasize this in Brazil as much as it should be emphasized in America, that the pastor is not the one who does it all. The pastor enables you to do it. He's the shepherd. And it's not about what he does up here, it's what you do out there. It's about what we do together as a church. And we try to emphasize that for our people in Brazil, that they would take advantage of their web of influence and reach out and sense how God would use them in a day-to-day, how God would use them to open up inroads for the gospel. The message that everyone needs to hear is the same, and it needs to hear it from us. We need to be those with beautiful feet. When your mission groups go out, they have beautiful feet in our midst. That's great. When we use our gifts and talents, we have beautiful feet. When we make our way to church every Sunday morning and participate in things of the church and encourage others to come and join with us, we have beautiful feet. I remember when Joel came to know Jesus. It was at a youth convention in 1990. And he was already about 18, 19 years old. And at the conference, I announced that I needed a volunteer to come to the Ark. We had just recently purchased it. We had traded our home in the city for this rabbit farm that had gone under, and we got it. We just traded even up. We shook on it. We went that same day. It was one day in our life that changed so many things. And Joel came to live with us at the Arca, and he began to clear the way for a Bible camp. And as he continued living with us, then he went away for Bible school, then he came back to help us again, and he ended up marrying a girl from that location where the Arca is. And she became a member of our church. And later on, he became started studying seminary in the capital, and we were aiding him in his education. He had already finished his high school. He did his college studies in the capital there. And he is a pastor of our church in Bateias today. His mother and sisters had prayed for him for years. He always resisted. But one day, God answered that mother's prayer, and Joel came to faith. Then he came to live with us. Today, they have a son that's 18 years old, has already been to our Bible school, and they live right next to the Arca, and they've been with us all these years in ministry. He was the president for 8 years. He was president of the National Church in Brazil. I know God changes lives, gives a new hope and new opportunity and many ways to serve him. And today, Joel, we can say with confidence, he walks with beautiful feet because of what Jesus Christ has done in his life. And I've had the privilege of watching him grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus and put his gifts to work, see him raise his son for Jesus and have a marriage that is an example to others. I think of Juarez and Maya. Juarez came to my house about 2 years ago. little less. He was drunk, but the family needed cooking gas. And so he asked if he couldn't work for the day. He was a little tipsy, but he wanted to work, so I would buy him a tank of gas. And so the Lord led me to say, yeah, okay. So he worked that day, and he came back the next day, and it was fall. There was a lot of leaves to rake and things to do. So I kept having him come, and he said every week he'd come for 2 or 3 days and help out around the house, and I kept talking to him, sharing with him, praying with him, encouraging him to stop drinking. He and his wife were always drunk. Their two boys were always on the street. They hardly ate a decent meal. But you know, in a few months later, they both decided to quit drinking. And he was faithfully coming to church and church activities. And I was always having devotions with him in the morning when he'd come to work. And he had prayed to receive the Lord. And not too long ago, I had the privilege of baptizing him. He and his wife have never touched alcohol again. Their boys are coming to Sunday school and camp, and we're seeing a change. Even at the school is always saying, we're seeing a change in these boys. They were hard to handle. And Jordi has been a great friend to me. Just a couple of weeks ago, he got married. I'd been encouraging he and his wife to keep progressing, to getting their documents in order. And so they were married, they've made these steps. He was baptized. And it's exciting to see how God is changing Juarez. There's a saying in Portuguese, he who sees you should have seen you, or can't recognize you. Quem te viu, que te vê. You know, who knew you from before should see you now. You know, it's a whole different life. They didn't have a bathroom, so we had an opportunity to, with the help of one of our friends in mission here in the States, we built them a bathroom so the family could have indoor plumbing. And what a change, what a blessing to be able to be in Juarez and Maya's life. We correspond daily on our zappy-zappy, we say, on WhatsApp. And it's exciting to keep that contact, keep encouraging them to grow in grace and the knowledge of you. You know, I looked at his life, and he starts telling me how he was selling drugs before and how so many things that he had been involved in. And you know, I like these words of Paul. You know, it really doesn't matter what you were. What matters is what Jesus Christ has for us. Doesn't matter all the messed up things we did in the past. Doesn't matter where people are today in their lives without Jesus. What matters is they come to know Jesus. And Jesus makes the difference. And so God asks us, invites us to let our light shine before men so that they might see our lives and glorify the Father which is in heaven. The invitation is that we would be those people that have feet that share the good news of Jesus Christ. Remember the story, the starfish story, I say? The little boy walking on a beach after a storm, and all these starfish are washed up on the shore. And he's walking down the beach, realizing that in the hot sun, as it comes up, they'll all die, all flipped over, and they couldn't move and without the water. And so he would pick them up and throw them. And a man comes by and says, you know, look at all those starfish. You're not making hardly a difference there. You know, there's so many. Give up. He says, he reached down, picked up another one and threw it. He says, well, made a difference for that one and for that one. And, you know, we get overwhelmed with the needs in our community, the needs in our neighborhood, the needs in our world. We get to the point where we're almost paralyzed by the need. But God's invitation is, make a difference for that one. Make a difference. I was at the conference, Steer Conference, and someone shared the story of Mother Teresa there. And she said something similar to that. Look at all these poor kids, all these kids all over. You know, and you just are able to help those. She said, well, I'm making a difference for those. Well, make a difference for that one. So God calls us to walk with beautiful feet and make a difference for someone today. So I might ask you to consider what spiritual difference you, each one of them, are making in the lives of someone today. Could God use you to bless others around you or in some other place? Does your light rise in darkness? Jesus said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. The pastor came not to be served, but to serve. We are called as followers of Jesus not to be served, but to serve. And he says to us, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Go and have beautiful feet. May God help us. Jesus, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you that you have entrusted your message to us, to our feet, to the places that we go, the lives that we live. Thank you, Lord, for all those lives in Brazil that we've been able to bring the good news of Jesus, and they've been able to bring the good news to others around them, and together we have been able to be your people in that place. Lord, may Christians everywhere be distinctly yours and distinctly concerned for people around them that need Jesus. Bless us, Father, to that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.